Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. In this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Angela Golden about a recent article discussing stress and obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Hello, my name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also Chief Science Officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. Today, we're doing a podcast on articles that are relevant to the most recent version of the obesity algorithm. And what we do is we take one of these articles and then we discuss it with opinion leaders. We discuss these articles with experts in the field. And we're very fortunate today to have with us Angie Golden. Angie, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Well, thanks. And thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I'm Angie Golden. I'm a family nurse practitioner. I own NP Obesity Clinic in Flagstaff, Arizona, and am one of the nurse practitioners that holds OMA's Certificate of Advanced Education. So I am thrilled to be with you and looking forward to our discussion.
Okay. Well, especially during this time, I mean, of course, not sure exactly what's going to be going on ultimately when this gets aired and whatever, but I don't know that there's ever a time in our lives where stress doesn't play a role at something. And the article you picked was entitled Stress and Obesity by Tomiyama, T-O-M-I-Y-A-M-A. And what this article, I think the main messages of this article is that there is this interconnection, this connection between stress and obesity. You know, first off, there's an effect upon, you know, cognitive processes like executive function and self-regulation. And secondly, whether it be stress or whatever it is that, contributes to the obesity, there's this overeating and overconsumption of foods that are energy dense. And then thirdly, stress can cause all sorts of hormonal and inflammatory factors, maybe affects the hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis. And then finally, stress can also adversely affect hormones that have to do with satiety or hunger, you know, like leptin and ghrelin and neuropeptide Y and these types of things. Then you throw on top of that, the flip side, that not only is the stress maybe contributing to the obesity, but the obesity may be contributing to issues related to weight stigma, and then that increases the stress. And you just have this sort of, the way I would look at it is kind of like this vicious cycle. Okay. So Angie, let me just ask you, as ones that, as a person who manages these patients with the overweight and the obesity, and these, so many times, you know, patients have this vicious cycle of this stress and obesity. Tell the folks what's your experience. What is your sense about what goes on with these patients that have both stress and the obesity?
You know, I think it's interesting when I ask patients about the stress in their lives before COVID. They'll all, you know, most of them will say, oh, yeah, you know, I have some stresses, but doesn't everyone? And I think that's true. I think of course, in today's environment, as we're facing a pandemic, we all feel that. But I think for patients with obesity, and one of the reasons I love this article is that, again, it brings it back to obesity as that hormonal disease and takes it away from that willpower situation that so many patients come into us with. And when we sit and talk about it, patients say, oh, you know, when I get stressed, I overeat. Stress is a trigger for my eating, but they still think of that as a willpower issue. And to be able to sit down with them and talk to them about the difference between stress and how it's hormonal, don't you think that can make a difference for them?
Right. And I think one of the things, you know, these articles are tied to the obesity algorithm. And it's just interesting that, you know, the latest version has as one of its integral parts, this myth that obesity has to do with an absence of willpower. I mean, there's an entire section of the obesity algorithm that discusses that. And there are also multiple places in the obesity algorithm talking about stress. You know, it's more than just a mood. Okay, stress is intimately related to exactly what you said: hormonal changes and inflammatory changes, and all of those, I think, pretty conclusively can affect a person's body weight. But I guess the question I have for you is: hopefully, the people that are listening to this broadcast know this already. But what's your sense about the flip side you know, once they have the overweight, once they have the obesity, on the opposite side, can that worsen stress?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, and the Tomiyama article does a wonderful job of talking about obesity as its own stressor. And I have a perfect example for you of that, that is almost heartbreaking. I have a patient that she does not go grocery shopping until 3 o'clock in the morning because then almost no one's at the store, so no one can see what's in her grocery cart. She won't feel as judged because there's not as many people there to judge her. How much more stress can a person have than to have to get up in the middle of the night, interrupt their sleep to go grocery shopping? That is the epitome of bias and stigma. And what a phenomenal example that this is such a stress on her. So obesity is in and of itself a stressor. And I just think that that is so powerful. And I have to tell you that one of the things I think the algorithm does that this article implies that I would like to ask everybody who's listening, and that is to make sure that your office is not adding to the person's stress living with obesity, especially if you're in a primary care office. Those of us who practice just obesity treatment, obesity medicine, probably our offices are set up for that. But those who are practicing in primary care, please make sure that you use that algorithm to look at your practice and make sure that you're not adding to someone's stress by just the environment that they're walking into.
Well, amen. I mean, look, we're all trying to, you know, help patients both physically and mentally. And even if you think you're being funny, or even if the patient acts like they think you're being funny, I don't think jokes about people's weight, it's just not necessary. And you don't know, maybe there's some people that it kind of just rolls off of them, but it might affect people in different ways. Like the woman you said that goes to the grocery store at 3 o'clock in the morning. How's that helping out her sleep? You know,
yeah, no
and
kidding.
Is contributing to her weight as well. Maybe she doesn't go to the gym for the same reason. So there's just, you know, well, I mean, that's an entirely different topic, and I'm sure it's something we're all passionate about and everything. But I think what I really wanted kind of to get nailed down here is, okay, so we have acknowledged that overweight and obesity can cause stress. We've acknowledged that stress can contribute to the obesity. What do you do about it? What do you do about it? What do you do for your patients?
You know, I think the first thing is I go back to that whole hormonal conversation and I talk about cortisol. And then I talk about what the science has shown us we can do to help decrease cortisol in the body, because that is the stressor hormone. So for every one of my patients in one of the very early visits, we talk about finding something they can do for stress reduction that will decrease that cortisol level on a pretty regular basis. So some of those can be mindfulness. I have a 7-minute Qigong video that they can check out and take with them. Even just the daily 4-count breathing that the Apple Watch can have them do. Do that 3 times a day. Heart math, meditation, daily devotions, yoga. There's a whole list. I have like, I think 25 things on a handout for them. And we find one that they can be comfortable with. And my favorite thing to do is once they pick that one thing out, we do it right then. We practice that right there in the office.
In the office. In the office
or on telehealth right now. We will practice it right then so that they can start to try it. And then we create a SMART goal around it.
Well, I mean, that's just super advice. I might add another thing, you know, at least works for me. And I think it works for a lot of other patients too, is that, you know, increasing your steps, or for the people that aren't walking any steps, you know, getting, enhancing. That's another thing we've done with the obesity algorithm. We've officially included steps in the physical activity metrics. This idea that somehow steps can't be included, I mean, it's beyond me why people would do that. But I think people should be, you know, get credit for what whatever they're embarking on, whether it be the meditation or the stress reducers you're talking about, or you know, even just some mild or moderate exercise. All of those things are effective. All of them can help alleviate stress. And hopefully, some of them will help with weight reduction. Is that your sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for bringing up exercise or activity, because I think that's on my list of the 25 things they can pick from. So thank you for highlighting that. But I think it's important in the stress and obesity connection that this article clearly identifies that we are addressing this with our patients to help them decrease that cortisol so that we can at least have one more thing that helps to decrease leptin resistance and decrease ghrelin levels. We'll take it all.
Very good. Yeah. Every little thing helps. And this is not really a little thing. I think it's a big thing. I mean, I think most patients know that. And I think deep down, I think most clinicians know this. Okay, Angie, well, thank you so much. This has been great. I think it's really practical information for clinicians to have, and maybe for the patients that are also listening to this. Again, I think they already know this, but I think it's good to hear it, that the science supports what I think they intrinsically already know. So again, Angie, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Drs. Bays and Golden. For more information about Obesity Medicine podcasts and other resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Loved the episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show hosts and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back in soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.